One morning, when pouring out my Rice Krispies, out of the box came a little prize, a bright red rubber band-powered propeller. I wound it up, and the propeller glided off through the dining room. For a few seconds, Ludwig the baby blue jay was spellbound as it floated through the air. Suddenly, he took off and grabbed it in midair. I called, and he brought it to me. That's how we learned to play a fun game of fetch. It was even more fun in the backyard without walls or ceilings to get in the way. Over and over, I'd shoot it up, and he'd race after it and bring it back. One time it landed on our apartment building's roof. He flew up to retrieve it, but the moment he landed on the hot roof tiles, he keeled over on his side. His crest went up, one wing and his tail spread out, his beak opened, and he froze. I thought he was having a seizure. I called him, but he didn't move. In a panic, I rushed to the basement where our landlord kept a ladder, lugged it out, and climbed up to the roof, not even thinking about how scared I am of heights as I rushed toward him. But as my hand reached out to grasp him, he shook his head, stood up, grabbed the propeller, and flew onto my shoulder as if nothing had happened. I called my friend Malcolm McDonald about that, and he laughed, explaining about how birds sunbathe, especially on hot, sunny days. This innate behavior raises the temperature of a bird's skin and feathers, probably helping to banish some parasites. I'd read about that in my ornithology textbooks, but was still shocked to see it in real life. I really thought Ludwig was dying. Ludwig kept his collection of toys, some shiny buttons, a rubber band, that Rice Krispies propeller, and an old ring in a ceramic cup. Now and then he'd take out his treasures one by one, arranging them in a line, and then put them all back into the cup. Once in a while he'd fly off with one and hide it somewhere. Once he wedged a button in the crevice between the dining room window frame and the sash, and we had to work the button out with a knife before we could open the window again. One day I gave Ludwig a few sunflower seeds. He tucked them away with his other toys, not realizing they were food. So I bit one open and ate the seed in front of him, then cracked open another and gave him the seed. He was thrilled. Years later, when we gave our toddler Joey his first Starburst candy, he especially loved the colorful wrapper, calling it present candy. That reminded me of how Ludwig loved sunflower seeds as much for the packaging as for the seeds within. Ludwig was very curious about insects and became adept at catching flies. He put a couple in his cup until he figured out that they were edible. Then he just swallowed them as he caught them. But the instant he first grabbed an ant in his beak, his crest popped up and he spit it out, shaking his head with what looked like revulsion, apparently reacting to the formic acid taste. But within half a minute or so, he picked up the ant again, ran his tongue back and forth on it, spit it out again, and cocked his head. Then he grabbed the ant, leaned over to one side and spread the opposite wing, and rubbed the ant on his feathers. The taste of the ant seemed to release this behavior. By the time he switched sides, the ant body was pretty mangled. He didn't eat it. He just left it on the table for me to clean up. I, of course, immediately called Malcolm, wondering if this was the anting behavior I'd read about in ornithology. Yep, this was active anting. Blue jays also engage in passive anting when they sit on an anthill in the same position they do when sunning, allowing the ants to crawl all over their skin and feathers. Either way, whether actively or passively anting, the formic acid coating an ant's body ends up in the feathers, probably acting as an insect repellent. By summer's end, Ludwig was spending most nights outside somewhere. I'd see him just once or twice a day, and he no longer wanted to come indoors. The last day I saw him was the last day of summer vacation. Through that fall and winter, whenever I saw a blue jay, I wondered if it could be Ludwig. The next year, when Russ and I were in Chicago during spring vacation, a warm breeze floated into Madison. Our next-door neighbor was out sunning herself when she spotted a blue jay alight on each of our apartment windows, pecking in and tapping on the glass. He landed on her lawn chair and studied her a bit, and then tried the windows once more and finally flew off. I felt so sad when she told me I'd missed him, but so joyful to know that he'd survived the winter. Ludwig had a whole rich life ahead of him. 5 decades later, I still feel a quiet joy, knowing that even as he was leading his life as a proper blue jay should do, he kept in his mind a little memory of me. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.